The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. God in heaven, thank you for giving us so many valuable things that are signs of your gracious love for us. Show us how to care and use them in ways that honor you and help our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. So the focus of all the readings for today is God is always doing a new thing. And sometimes that can be scary. And change can be scary, but kind of what does that mean for us? That's a big question. So let's try something. Everybody close your eyes, so let your mind kind of go free for a second. And think about, to yourself, what is the most valuable thing in your life? Maybe it is a thing. Maybe it's a treasured family Bible. Maybe it's a valuable guitar, a piece of furniture. It could even be a person. Just picture whatever is the most important thing to you. Maybe it's just your front porch where you can watch the sun come up or go down. All right. Everybody thought of something? Now you can open your eyes. Did you think of something? Okay. So keep in mind what you thought about. Hold that. I want to tell you about a great story I recently saw in the movie Up. You may have seen that movie. It was animated, so that means it's a cartoon. It also means anything can happen because there's no, like, rules of gravity too much. So it's about two people, Carl and Ellie, and Russell, the Boy Scout, and Douglas the dog, and Kevin the bird. But mostly it's Carl and Ellie. They were sweethearts since they were kids. And Ellie made Carl promise to take her to Paradise Falls, South America. She said, "You have to cross your heart. That means you're going to do it." So for Ellie, going to Paradise Falls, that was her dream, her most valuable thing at the time. And for Carl, because Ellie wanted to go there, it became Carl's dream too. Well, Carl and Ellie got married. And so all their lives, they saved up in a jar coins to go to Paradise Falls. But every time they saved a good bit of money and thought they were getting close, an emergency came up and they had to smash the jar and use it to pay for the emergency. Finally, they were old people. Carl bought the tickets so they could go to Paradise Falls. But Ellie got so sick, she couldn't go. In fact, she died. Carl had no one to love. The most valuable thing in his life was Ellie, and she was gone. So Carl just stayed in the house that they had built up together. But the city grew up around their house, and a builder wanted to buy Carl and Ellie's house. Carl wouldn't sell it. But through trickery, the builders find a way to force Carl to move out of his house. But just as he's going to have to move his house, he's going to have to leave. Somehow, he hands the guys his briefcase or his luggage, and he says, "I'll be right back." And they make fun of him and say, "He probably has to go to the bathroom or something." All of a sudden, you hear this noise, and all these balloons come out of the top of the chimney, and the house comes loose from its foundations, and it rises up in the air, and it starts flying. And Carl, he's resourceful, he's rigged bed sheets, and so he actually steers it like a sailboat. And he goes to South America, and he has adventures. There's a little boy who knocks on his door. Sounds pretty desperate. Well, the house is in the air. Who could it be? Carl opens the door, and it's this little boy, and he's a Boy Scout, Russell. Could you let me in? And Carl says, no, he shuts the door. Well, then he comes back and lets him in. And they become fast friends. They have adventures when they find the land in South America. And they meet this dog, too, and through the miracle of science or whatever, the dog has a special collar, and so it speaks English. And then the dog comes up, and he says, hello, my name is Douglas. I love you. Will you be my master? That's what he says to Carl. Well, Carl doesn't want a dog or a little boy, but he grows fond of them. So, that's what happens there. Alright, so then they have adventures, but they part company because Mr. F. Carl refuses to help Russell rescue a large, rare bird called Kevin. Anyway, so the moral of the story kind of is he lost and gave up his wife, but he got some friends. He got the little boy Russell, and he got the dog who said, I love you. Will you be my master? That's a pretty important thing. I love you. Will you be my master? Okay, so then we need to skip forward to the gospel reading, right? So, we see in John, Jesus says, come again to the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, the three friends of Jesus. They're so grateful because Lazarus is back. He's alive. But they want to make him a big meal, and they want to entertain his friends, the disciples. So in those days, there was this kind of cool tradition, I guess. If you had a big celebration, it was perfectly all right for your neighbors to wander in and see what was happening. Now, they didn't come and eat food, but they got to see what you were doing, who was there, what's being talked about. It's like my grandma used to say, I'd like to be a fly on the wall, see what was happening. You got to be a fly on the wall, know what was in your neighbor's house. That's kind of neat. We can't do that today. Okay, so there they are. Jesus at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home, with the neighbors were there too watching. And they're having this nice supper to honor Jesus. Mary gets out this really amazing, smelling an expensive alabaster bottle of perfume, breaks it open, and pours it on Jesus' feet. Everybody there could smell it. You couldn't help but smell it. It was all in the house. And it was nard. They could tell it was nard. Not any old nard. It was the good stuff. The expensive stuff. It was also used to anoint people's bodies for their burials. It was a beautiful smell. Kind of different from the smell of Lazarus just a week or so before. So everybody must have been smelling that. They must have known what a hugely expensive thing that perfume was. Mary had just used up that perfume that would cost someone a whole year's worth of working to buy it. That wasn't a normal thing that happened at dinner parties. Oh, people's feet got washed, but they used water. And the servants did that, not the people who owned the house. This wasn't normal. In fact, it really was pretty wasteful and pretty extravagant. But nobody said anything. But I bet they were feeling kind of awkward, right? You would be. But then, I bet when they looked at Mary's face, all they could see was the love she had for Jesus. I don't think she even maybe noticed that people were around her. But another thing I wonder is where that expensive nard came from. Was it left over from Lazarus' tomb? Maybe they didn't need it to anoint him because he wasn't dead anymore. That's possible. It's also possible it could have been Mary's own dowry, something valuable that she would bring to a marriage. And she used that because maybe she didn't so much have to get married and have a man support her now because her brother Lazarus was there. Whatever the thing, she gave up everything to show that love to Jesus. She said, "I love you, Jesus. You are my master." And I like to think that Martha and Lazarus knew what Mary was doing, that she was so grateful. And they were probably in accord, in agreement with that. That was okay, probably. But then, it wasn't odd enough that she had poured all that perfume on Jesus' feet and let it drip on the floor. Mary did another shocking thing. She let down her hair. Now, a proper lady did not let down their hair. They put it up. And your hair was only let down for your dress. It would be the equivalent of if we came in church and hiked up our skirt and that shaved through the sanctuary. It would just not be right. It would be unseemly. It was getting pretty weird. People were probably kind of twitching in their seats. Maybe even Martha and Lazarus were uncomfortable. No proper lady did this. But Mary didn't seem to be worried about all the people around them. She only wanted to wash the master's feet. She only wanted to honor him. That was all. She was acting out of pure love, wanting nothing in return. Finally, somebody did speak up. After all, this was weird. So, it was Judas. Judas spoke up, and he said something like, "Well, this is ridiculous. Why did you just waste this perfume by pouring it out like this? Well, you could have sold it and given all that money to the poor." But then we see in Scripture, Judas wasn't exactly worrying about the poor. He was worrying about the treasure box that he kept, that he also took a little money out of. When he wanted to go to Starbucks or do something for himself, he stole from that box. So he really wanted all that money to go in that box for himself. Well, then Jesus talked, didn't he? He pretty much told Judas off. He said, "The poor will always be around." He doesn't mean don't do anything about the poor. I think he maybe means Mary's not the one to solve all those problems today. Mary's doing this for me. Jesus says that Mary once again has chosen the good part. She's chosen to show her love for Jesus, and without even knowing it, she's anointed Jesus for the day of his death. She shouldn't be shamed. And because this is just 6 days away from the day of Passover, Jesus is very close to that day of his death. And in fact, when Jesus and the disciples celebrate the Passover meal, Jesus does an odd thing too. He washes his disciples' feet. He takes the place of the servant, he wraps a towel around himself, and he washes all 12 disciples' grimy, dirty feet, not using perfume, but water. Even the feet of Judas, the one who will hand him over to the Roman authorities. And then Jesus tells the disciples to wash each other's feet, and he gives them a new commandment. He says, "Love one another." Isn't that strange? Because 5 days before, Jesus did that. Mary did the same thing. She washed Jesus' feet out of pure love. She fulfilled that commandment before she heard it. So a woman anointed Jesus for his special work of giving himself up for us out of great love, that greatest love that can ever be. So what does that mean for us? Remember those things we thought about, those really special things, most important thing to you that you can think of? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to come in here, if possible, and set it under the cross and give it to Jesus? I don't necessarily think that's what we're supposed to do, but maybe God would have us, instead of holding on so tightly so that we don't lose it, so that it doesn't get hurt or harmed. Maybe if we give that to Jesus, if we trust Jesus with those things, instead of "this is all about me," that is how Jesus does. He gives those things. And so if we give those things to God and let him use them, that's how God will do a new thing through us, and he'll help us learn to say, Jesus, I love you. Will you be my master? Amen.